Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
T and Sal back on the Fan. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Before we get back to the calls here, 888-808-1019. BT is not with me today because he'd be doing the Yankee game tonight, filling in for Susan, who's under the weather for tonight and tomorrow. BT will be in the booth with Justin Shackle, so make sure you stay tuned to that and check BT out. We could have some fun with him when he returns with us on Friday. I asked Zoo, because there is this thought, and BT's one of them, and I do wish he was here today so I could call him out for it again, but we've had this conversation before. Yeah, he was ripping the Yankees more than anybody, like we all were for the seven-week stretch where they're playing like the worst team in baseball outside of historically the worst team in the history of the sport, in the White Sox. And then all of a sudden they win five games, and it's, oh, no, the Yankees are back. Yankees are back. And, oh, no, they need to get this guy and that guy and this guy and that guy, and then they get Jazz Chisholm, and it's like, oh, no, they've done enough. What? Based on what? And then since then, of course, they played these crappy teams or average teams. I'm not talking about Cleveland. They're better than that. But they played these average teams, and they themselves have been an average team with a record, I believe, now below 500 after losing these three straight. It was 15. They were 8-7 over the last 15 and whatever. I don't know the exact record then. But I wanted Zoo to check out their record or records in baseball since June 1st, figuring, okay, that's a large enough sample size. We all know the records overall as you look at the standings. Well, the Yankees are right there with everybody else. You know, Baltimore's got 74 wins, Yankees 73, Cleveland 73, and Astros with 68. You get Philly with 73. All right, everybody in the same boat. Dodgers 75, Brewers 73. So all these, you know, slightly above average teams. Well, if you start from June 1st, because that's what we're going about when we talk about the Yankees, the last several months. June 1st, which is now a larger sample size than just April and May. And the Yankees started out like a team that could not be beat. And back then, they were playing head and shoulders above everybody else. That's what made them feel special. Since then, and that's why they're able to have one of the best records still because of what they did in April and May. But since June 1st, Zoo, where do the Yankees rank in Major League Baseball overall record since June 1st?
They rank 18th.
And what is their record since June 1st?
Their record is 33-34, one game under 500.
Okay, 18th. So from June 1st, and just for, you know, clarity purposes, June, July, August. It's nearly 3 months, 2.5 months as we approach now the end of August. June, July, August. Not 3 weeks, not 4 weeks, not 7 weeks. Talking about nearly 3 months, for 3 months, that over, you know, that supersedes what happened in April and May. It's a longer period of time. They're ranked 18th, one game under 500. Who's the best team in baseball since then, Zoo?
Best team in baseball is the Diamondbacks, 46-24, 22 games over.
That makes sense. Diamondbacks have gone on a nice little run, having themselves in, I think, the second wild card spot in the National League, four games back of the Dodgers. What do we got? Give me the top five. Who's number two?
Top five, D-backs, obviously one. At number two, you got the Astros at 43-24, 19 games over.
Now, remember, everybody was looking to bury the Astros. Dead, buried, not a threat, especially after the way the Yankees handled them to start the year. So the Astros have the second-best record in the sport since June. They are in first place in their division by five games. All right, who's third?
Third are the San Diego Padres at 41-26.
Padres, another team that has climbed up the ladder in the National League. Wild card standings, just three back of the Dodgers. They have the top spot. Okay, so the Padres, Diamondbacks, they've righted the ship. Obviously, we mentioned the Astros righting the ship, being one of the best teams in baseball since June 1st. All right, who's next?
Yankee fans, close your ears for this one. You already heard the Astros. Number four, the Mets at 41-28.
41.
13 games over.
41-28. So the Mets since June 1st have played at a clip of 13 games over. That is actually hard to believe. Fourth best record of baseball. Who rounds it out of five?
Number five is actually a tie. It's between the Dodgers and the Brewers, both 10 games over at 39-29.
All right. So point is, this is now a large sample size. This is not a rough patch. This is not a bad stretch. This is us watching this team since June 1st. All the way back to June 1st. I mean, it's the entire summer. The Yankees have the 18th best record in baseball. Now, does that mean that they can't win a World Series? No, but it certainly means that this team is significantly flawed, as are other teams. You know, the Orioles or Cleveland or Seattle. Specifically teams in the American League that we're talking about, where the hottest teams have been more so in the National League, where you reference the Diamondbacks, Padres, and even the Mets have been one of the hotter teams in baseball since June 1st. It's not the be-all, end-all, but it is telling that the New York Yankees, who talk about being as good as anybody else or better than everybody else and being a World Series contender, and yeah, their record, because of what they did in April and May, is great, but they're a game under 500 since June. That's a long time. Anthony's calling from Jersey City. What's up, Ant?
Hey, what's up, Sal? I really like everything that you're saying today. I think the thing that bothers me so much about what's going on, and of course we can always look to the players, but, you know, it does start with everything from upper management on. I mean, at this point last year, just to go to show how bad DJ LeMahieu is, you know, Josh Donaldson, a guy they cut, had better numbers up to this time, like DJ LeMahieu, and they just keep running guys out there. And, you know, I hear Boone all the time talk. He just said that, you know, he sees something in DJ. He's still got to, you know, grind more than he talked about on another podcast. Wells would, you know, take care of the bulk of the playing time. Trevi has played the last, you know, 4 out of 5 days. And it's just like, it's like that they want to be right more than they want to win. And I think that's what frustrates us, is like, let the guys who deserve to play enough with the guys that we've been clearly seeing for years now, because all they tell you in the offseason is that injuries affected the course of the year. The guys that just aren't cutting it, they don't deserve to play. If you're all in, you would have made the moves, and you would do whatever it takes to put the best, you know, product on the field every day.
I'm with you, Ant. Well said, and thank you for the call. I don't understand how anybody, and I do think there's a lot of truth to what you're saying, that the Yankees want to be right. And they believe, I said this last week or earlier in the week, the Yankees believe that we're all crazy. They believe that we're all, Brian Cashman basically said it to BT's face, saying, hey, where should I send the sample to get your drug tested? For BT saying the Yankees didn't do enough. They all, and Cashman went on his rant last year in the offseason. They all think that we're nuts for saying that the Yankees either didn't do enough or saying that the Yankees need to move on from this guy or that guy. They think we're crazy and they're right. And I don't know if they want to be proven right as much as they think that they're right. How could anybody who's watched, I mean, look, I didn't field the team with Jamai Jones and J.D. Davis batting leadoff and cleanup. I didn't do that. The Yankees did that. We wouldn't do that. The Yankees did that. I guarantee you there is not a person alive who is listening to this radio station, whether it's on the Free Odyssey app, live on the Fan 101.9, podcast version, wherever you may be listening. I guarantee you there is not a listener out there that would ever want to write out that lineup and think that lineup is okay against the Mets. Or, I take it further, I don't think anybody listening would rather see DJ LeMahieu than Oswaldo Cabrera. Like, in what world, in watching baseball, would anybody, if you've watched a second of them play this year, think that LeMahieu gives you a better opportunity to win a baseball game than Oswaldo Cabrera? I'm not saying Oswaldo Cabrera is a stud, but come on. I mean, the energy, the potential of him doing something, whether it's defensively, on the base paths, offensively, He's at this point, he's a, hey, Boone wants to talk about winning players. He's much more of a winning player than LeMahieu. On what planet can you justify running LeMahieu out there? The Yankees built this team that got themselves to a point where Jamai Jones was leadoff and J.D. Davis was cleanup. That's not like bad luck. That's the Yankees built that team. Other teams deal with injuries and bad luck and all those things all the time. This is the New York Yankees. Like it or not, and they should like it, because I wish the team that I grew up rooting for would be held to the highest of standards. They're not. The Yankees are held to the highest of standards. That's a great thing. But yet they fail to live up to them. And they think that what they're doing is okay. And I don't know who they think they're fooling, but they're certainly not fooling us. Whether it's running LeMahieu out there, whether it's sticking with Kleber, whether it's defending Anthony Volpe, whether it was defending IKF, whether it was sticking with Hicks or Gallo, and so on. Pat is calling from Oceanside. What's up, Pat?
Hey, what's going on? Thanks for taking the call. Can you hear me?
Yeah, thanks for making it. What's up, Pat?
Yeah, I guess my biggest problem with the Yankees is not their lack of criticism to the media, because I don't think that serves really much purpose, especially in the locker room. It's really the inaction in the lineup for a long time now. Like, guys were talking about Donaldson, and now they're talking about LeMahieu.
Yeah, and Donaldson's another
even
one,
Grisham, and et cetera, et cetera. So now you have these guys that have been sitting on the bench that they're starting to mix in very rarely, like Dominguez and Peraza, and we're going to need them the time September and October comes. And they're not going to feel comfortable. They're not going to have the at-bats, and they're not going to have the playing time to feel comfortable. I think that you need to get Dominguez and Peraza more in the lineup to see what they can do and take that risk, because 190 from the plate is not doing the Yankees any good and putting runs on the board. And we know Peraza can play the field and Dominguez can play the field, so I don't really see a downside to doing that.
Look, this
I don't
is,
know what you think about.
This is a, sorry to cut you off there, Pat. This is a simple one. Like, we can debate Volpe or when Dominguez should be brought up or how you're going to use Wells and Trevino. We could figure those different things out. Or what you would do with Stanton or Gleyber long-term. This is a very, 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 very simple one. DJ LeMahieu is done. He's washed up. I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I'm trying to be real. We all know it. We've known it for a long time. We knew it dating back to last year. However, the Yankees, whether it's Brian Cashman and his front office or Aaron Boone, they went into the year with DJ LeMahieu slotted in to be their leadoff hitter. That was their plan. So when I said I don't think the Yankees did enough to fix what was broken last year, and people looked at me like I was crazy. Oh, come on. They got Juan Soto. Juan Soto. Yeah, well, I get it. Soto's great, but they were more than just one player away. They needed to build a team of baseball players. It's great to have superstars. Obviously, it's been tremendous fun to watch Judge and Soto out there every single night. Don't you think that it's a little telling that if we go back and say, well, the Yankees' record since June 1st is 18th in baseball, they're 33-34. That's 2.5 months, almost 3 month sample. And Juan Soto and Aaron Judge have played the majority, if not all of those games, and have also produced at a very, very high level. So then how is it possible that if you have two of the best players in the sport playing every day and playing at the highest of levels every single day, how is it possible that you're the 18th best team in baseball since June 1st? How is that possible? Would you like me to explain? I'm sure you'd love to hear this. The answer is simple. They're not very good as a team. They're not a good team. They have the two stars, and we get caught up in that, and understandably so. As a team, they're not very good. Last year it was, well, they're not good because Judge is out. And then it was, okay, well, they shouldn't be a one-man team anyway. But at least that was a nice excuse. Judge is out the majority of the year. What do you want them to do? Where the year before, if Judge didn't have a record-breaking season with 62 home runs, they probably wouldn't have made the postseason that year. Started out like the 98 Yankees. And then finished like the 88 Yankees. Or whatever. You know, my favorite Yankees teams. 89, 90, 91. I like those Yankee teams. Scott Kamenecki. No, but the Yankees, outside of Judge carrying them to another level, haven't been a good team for a long time. Probably go back to 2020. or 2019. They have not reached, you know, certainly they didn't reach where they got in 2017, game seven of the ALCS. But in 2019, and ironically enough, LeMahieu was huge in 2019 in the postseason. Big home run, game six before losing to the Astros. But game six of the ALCS, a competitive ALCS. 2019 is now a long time ago. 2020, they failed in the shortened season where Luke Voit carried the offense but then fell apart in the postseason. 2021 was the first year. That was the first sign of real problems because the Yankees generally dominated the regular season but then got to the postseason and would not be the same team. That's generally what happened prior. In 2021, they had struggles for the first time in the regular season. That was when I would have made a change. They didn't. They added Gallo. They added Rizzo. They make the wild card. They go one and done. 2022, kind of that false start like the 98 Yankees, but we're never really that good. Judge breaks the record, carries them, but still not good enough, embarrassed in the ALCS. Last year, missed the postseason. This year, since June 1st, they're 18th. Their record is 18th best in baseball, and they're a game under 500, with Juan Soto and Aaron Judge both playing at MVP absurd levels. They're not good enough. Anthony's calling from Harrisburg. What's up, Ant?
Sal, don't believe your lying eyes. Boone and Cashman want you to think that what we see every single night is different than what they see behind closed doors. The only thing we don't know is Anthony Volpe's Apple playlist. But I think, you know, the problem with the Yankees is, you know, Soto and Judge go out last night. They hit a home run, yep. Right? Who was on base, Sal? Who was on base?
Hey, nobody, right.
What were the stats for the Yankees with runners in scoring position last night?
Yeah, it was ridiculous. What was it, 1-for-19? It was horrible.
1-for-16 is the problem with the New York Yankees. The simplifying of hitting has totally been lost. You think Derek Jeter or Bernie Williams or Paul Neal cared about exit velo and launch angles and everything? Like, no.
No.
The Yankees need to simplify hitting and put the bat on the ball. Make the defense make a play. The Yankees, without Soto and Judge this year, it's amazing that they have Soto and Judge. Well, and they're 33 and 34 since June 1st.
Do you think Gleyber Torres is a good hitter?
Yes, I do. I think when he simplifies things, I've seen enough to believe that he is a good hitter.
See, I don't. I know why you would say that, but I don't. He's hitting 235. I mean, how could a hitter who's hitting 235 be considered good? I know why you're saying what you're saying. I think he's got the potential to be a good hitter. I do not think he's a good hitter. Do you think Giancarlo Stanton is a good hitter?
I think he's a good power hitter. I don't believe he's a good hitter.
Right, me neither. And they don't need another power hitter behind Soto and Judge. They need hitters. Trent Grisham, Verdugo, on and on. Like, I think Austin Wells has a chance to be a very good hitter. I think Volpe has a chance to be that. Problem is, Wells is on his way there, but it's still early. I mean, he's a rookie this year and finally starting to get some real playing time. And Volpe has been inconsistent in 2 years. Look at the lineup. You know, Peraza, LeMahieu, like, there's just not enough, Anthony. I think you bring up good points. Like, I don't think Verdugo's an answer. I don't think Torres is an answer. Look at the lineup. Outside of Soto and Judge, I wanted them to move on from Stanton for years, but certainly after last year. Not only is he always hurt, even when he's healthy, he's not reliable. Oh, but when he connects, look at that exit velo. Yeah, that's great. He doesn't connect often enough. And they also don't need that type of hitter behind Soto and Judge. They need hitters. I mean, I know it's too much to ask for a 300 hitter nowadays, but how about somebody who can hit 280? I mean, geez, with the Yankees, how about somebody who can hit 260? We all Austin Wells hitting 254, and it's like, wow, they finally found a bat in Austin Wells. Volpe's hitting 249 for a guy who was supposed to be a superstar shortstop. And the bigger problem is that's if 40 points higher than what he hit last year. He ended up with 209. Is Volpe a power hitter? Is he an average hitter? What is he? And again, I like Volpe, but he's not there yet. If Volpe were where the expectations were, be a different story. They keep running out LeMahieu. How could you justify that? How could you justify, like, what does DJ LeMahieu do at this point? Does he play good defense? You get on base? Run the base as well? Is he a power threat? Like, what are the Yankees trying to accomplish by running LeMahieu into the ground here? LeMahieu is worse than even what Gallo and Hicks were. That's how bad LeMahieu is. Clear, like, at least Gallo, you might be able to run into him. Now, I know he was awful here, don't get me wrong. Hicks did have a moment or two after he left here. Like, LeMahieu's washed up. If the Yankees cut LeMahieu today, and we said this for weeks and months, if they, going back months, if they cut LeMahieu right now, nobody would touch him. He's out of the big leagues. It's over. It's over. Hey, I don't make the rules. I'm not trying to be a bad guy here. The reality is, he's done. Can't move. Can't do anything. And yet the Yankees keep running them out there. In a race for the division. And the best thing, as I said earlier, the best thing you could say about the Yankees is that, well, nobody else is really that good either. And that, to me, for the Yankees, is just not good enough. 888-808-1019, BT and Sal on the Fan.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Our daughter, Jessie, loves playing detective.
A clue.
But since we discovered she has sensitive skin, we've been playing detective, too.
We thought the problem was our puppy.
But it was actually our old detergent.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So we switched to Tide Free and Gentle. Tide cleans better than the leading competitive free detergent, and it doesn't leave behind irritating residues.
Plus, Tide Free and Gentle has no dyes or perfumes, so it's gentle on her skin.
Case closed.
If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Free and Gentle.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This happened. You talked about it on The Fan.
21 of the last 22 times they scored. Here's Sims to throw on third down. Up the middle. Touchdown, Bavaro. Mark Bavaro goes to one knee. Genuflex in prayer. As a 13-yard throw over the middle answers the prayer for the Giants fans.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Time to take home.
Man, I've been all about STP this week after listening to these ticket giveaways here. All the songs. I love Stone Temple Pilots. Call right now. Be calling number 13 at 866-540-WFAN. That's 866-540-9326 for your last chance to win a pair of tickets to see Live and Stone Temple Pilots, the Jubilee Tour at PNC Bank Arts Center on Friday, September 6th. This is from our friends at Live Nation. Purchase tickets, visit livenation.com. Listen again tomorrow for another chance to win. And this brings me back to what? I'm trying to think. Junior high, probably 90. When did that album come out? Core was the name of the album, right? Stone Temple Pilots Core. You know what year that came out to? 95, 96? Where are we at?
It says here, copyright 94? Atlantic Records, 1994.
Okay, 94. There we go. 94. And then I think maybe after that, I started getting into Green Day and their third album, which I'm not even going to say on the air because I'm not even sure you can. But whatever, you know, the one with When I Come Around, that was probably a little bit. I mean, it was the same time. Maybe 95 was that. But yeah, and before that, it was Nirvana. But 94, a little STP. Think about that, too. Young Sal, 14-year-old Sal, junior high school. Loving life as far as being a sports fan with the Rangers winning the Stanley Cup. The Knicks were in the midst of the, you know, that 90s run, getting to the finals. Ah, oh, man, that brings me back to a good time. All right, BT and Sal on the Fan. BT is out. He'll be in tonight in the broadcast booth, filling in for Susan, who is under the weather for tonight and tomorrow. BT will be in the booth with Justin Shackle. So it's just me and you today. We'll do three random questions coming up in about 10 minutes or so. Right now, let's get back to the calls. 888-808-1019. Mario is in Long Beach. Mario?
How you doing, Sal?
Good, Mario. How are you?
Yeah, good show. Everything you said is true. You know, I like what you said, especially the LeMahieu thing. I'm right on.
Well, I mean, I just don't get it with LeMahieu. What? Come on now. Like, we can nitpick and you want to argue certain things. There is no arguing about DJ LeMahieu. We all know it. I don't know why the Yankees just won't acknowledge it. It's over. He's toast. He's washed up.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that they're good. I think he's going to realize that, and Cabrera is going to play all the time.
Yeah, when? Now? I mean, it's the end of August. Come on.
Now, it's got to happen now. And I think, you know, right now, betting-wise, they're favorite to make the World Series out of the East.
Yeah,
so,
but that,
I mean, they still got a shot.
But of course they have a shot because, like I said, the best thing you could say about the Yankees as a team this year, and I say as a team specifically because I know how great Soto and Judge has been. I'm talking about as a team, the best thing you could say is, well, everybody else isn't that good either. So, yeah, they have a shot. Plus, people do like betting the Yankees. So with those odds, I mean, I would think that there's something to that as far as the odds go. But if you had to say right now definitively, Mario, you think the Yankees are the best team in baseball, or would you bet on them to win the World Series? I wouldn't.
Well, it depends. I'm getting odds, so yeah, like, yeah. Nobody's favored. Whoever you pick is not favored.
Mario, how about the fact that since June 1st, they have the 18th best record in baseball? 18th!
Yeah.
June 1st is not, I didn't say July 1st, or I didn't say last week. There's not a bad little stretch. This is going back to June 1st. It's almost 3 months.
Yeah, this is what I feel good about, and then I'll let you go. Yeah. I feel good about, what's his name? Schmidt coming back.
Yes, that will help. Yeah.
And Cody Petit also. Let's not forget him. He had a small sample size, but he had a low ER. If these guys come back and they learn how to hit a little bit in the clutch, I think they got a good shot as anybody else. Now, would I bet my life? Of course not.
Well, why are they going to learn how to hit in the clutch all of a sudden? How's that going to happen?
I'm just saying, like, say, for example, yesterday's game, right? Mm-hmm. DJ LeMay, who gets up in the 12th inning, there's a man on third, one out. Yeah. All he's got to do is hit a fly ball, they win the game, he strikes out.
Yeah, and
maybe
I saw
Cabrera's up, he hits the fly ball.
Yeah, but I get it, and thank you for the call, Mario. Look, you can't, as much as I'm poking holes in the Yankees today, I can't sit here and say, well, they're not going to win the World Series. No, I wouldn't bet on it. I don't think they're that good. I mean, they could prove me wrong. Hey, look, maybe they get hot at the right time in October. They do have two of the best players in the sport. Oh, and by the way, one of the best pitchers in Gerrit Cole. But if they were that good, shouldn't they be pulling away from a pedestrian pack? If they were that good, why is their record one of the worst records in baseball since June 1st? Why are they 18th in all of Major League Baseball? So long, isn't it? Is that not enough sample size for you? So am I supposed to ignore what I've seen from June 1st? Roughly, we just added June 1st to have it a nice, clean, you know, beginning of the month. But am I supposed to now ignore what I've seen since June 1st and just say, "Wow, they have Soto and Judge, and nobody else is really that good"? Maybe they could figure it out. Then, if I'm going to say that, couldn't I say the same thing about the Orioles, who were not only on par with the Yankees this year, but better than them last year? So can I not say the same about them? What about Cleveland? I watched the game last night. I don't think Cleveland is particularly good, but they did beat the Yankees last night, and they do have one of the best records in baseball. So if I'm Cleveland, or if I'm a Cleveland fan, couldn't I say, well, I mean, Guardians have as good a chance as anybody. Nobody's really that good. If I'm the Astros, aren't I saying, been there, done that. Had us written off for dead again. We own this. We own the American League. I mean, until proven otherwise, the Astros have been the best team in the American League for years. So what? Because of this slow. So we're supposed to, and Yankee fans have done this, so we're supposed to dismiss the Astros based off what we saw the first 2 months, but ignore everything that we've seen the last 3 months. And vice versa for the Yankees? So basically, to make your case for the Yankees and ignoring the Astros, you're going to judge everything that what we've seen based on April and May. Yankees were great. Astros were awful. That's it. That's how it should be. So take those first 2 months of the season and hold that as the big, you know, measuring stick, as opposed to, well, the last 3 months of the season, the Astros have been significantly better than the Yankees have. Significantly. Astros' second best record overall since June 1st, only behind the Diamondbacks, and the Yankees 18th. Again, that doesn't mean everything, but it's got to mean something, and it's got to mean a lot more than April, May, which is, at this point, I mean, come on, that should be an afterthought. Ed is calling from Elizabeth. What's up, Ed?
Hey, Sal, how you doing?
Good, Ed. How are you?
Good. I want to talk about Anthony Volpe and the Yankees. Let me talk about the Yankees first. Now, the reason why I say this, I know of a lot of few people that are involved with Major League Baseball.
Mm-hmm.
I was at a clinic one time when Kevin Long spoke. And this was when he was with Washington. So after that, we all went out to eat after, and he, you know, thankfully he picked up the tab. So we were talking about the Yankee organization, and the first thing that came out of his mouth was the Yankees over-fabricate the players on the farm. So, and we've seen that in the past, how they overfabricate.
Well, we didn't need to hear that to confirm that, and that's part of why last year, and we played that clip earlier that John Boy tweeted yesterday, but it was out there obviously last year, when we played the clip earlier where Cashman, where he lost it at the media this offseason. I forget if that was at the winter meetings or the GM meetings, whatever it was, but he got sensitive to people questioning the Yankees player development. And I think it's more than fair questioning, because the Yankees, outside of Aaron Judge, who have they developed? That, like, we heard about Gleyber Torres, he's been a bust. We heard about Gary Sanchez for years. I'm sure there's others that I'm forgetting off the top of my head, but there was a lot of position players that were supposed to, you know, the baby bombers that were supposed to pan out. I'm not even going to go Greg Bird because, you know, he was banged up or whatever, but you've heard all the names. We've watched it play out here. These guys that were disappointing that didn't play out. Is Volpe going to be the next? I mean, it's been 2 years now of under-delivering the expectations of him.
Well, I think the expectation is done by the Yankee organization.
Yeah.
I've seen Anthony Volpe play throughout high school, throughout the minor leagues. Anthony Volpe as a shortstop reminds me so much of Bucky Dent. Okay.
Well, he's got a lot more power than Bucky Dent. He had 21 home runs
last
year.
Yeah, but I said as a shortstop. I didn't say
okay. Defensively, you're talking about, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But hitting-wise, he should be a leadoff hitter, but he just didn't do the job.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you know this. This year, they batted him in 7 different lineup spots this year. The only one he hasn't batted is 3 or 4.
Yeah, but that's to me, that's a little bit on him, Ed. I'm sorry, and thank you for the call. Sorry to cut you off there. I understand the point. I think that's a little bit on Volpe, because once they moved him to the leadoff spot, now you could argue that the Yankees do it a little too soon, but once they moved him there, he should not give that up. That is his spot. The Yankees' best lineup projects with Volpe being a leadoff hitter, but they had no choice but to move him down because he wasn't getting the job done. So I can't blame the Yankees for moving him all over. He's been inconsistent. That's the problem. And by the way, when we talk about hyping up the prospects and overvaluing their farm system, all those different things, look no further, and we gave you some examples already, but look no further than Spencer Jones. Spencer Jones, the Yankees this year, did not trade Spencer Jones for Corbin Burnes. Think about that. In a year where they got Juan Soto and were supposed to go all in, they didn't trade Spencer Jones for Corbin Burnes, who would have been not only their ace without Gerrit Cole, but at the very least paired 1-2 with Gerrit Cole. And instead of talking about Luis Gil and what's going to happen with him, we'll get more into that, or, you know, what they need from Rodon, the Yankees could have had on their roster right now Corbin Burnes, and they could have taken him away from the Orioles, who do now have Corbin Burnes on their roster. But the Yankees didn't want to give up Spencer Jones. And then, that was before the year, because Spencer Jones, of course, is going to be the next Aaron Judge. That's what we kept hearing. Spencer Jones is going to be the next Aaron Judge. How can he not be? Look at him. Oh, just look at him, the way he runs. He's big. He's powerful. Then Spencer Jones played another year in the minors and has struck out a ton, to a point where the Yankees were open to potentially dealing Spencer Jones. For what? For a difference-making piece. Oh, you mean like Corbin Burnes? So even that is a mistake that shouldn't go overlooked. And if I could sit here, and I did, and say that the Yankees should have traded Spencer Jones for Corbin Burnes, that was a mistake, then they should have, somebody in that organization should have been able to say, you know what, let's go for it. They don't do it anymore. And the results show. BT and Sal on the Fan, we'll have some fun with a little 3RQ when we come back and continue with your calls as well.
Start some trouble and call the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
A good question.
3 random questions.
Let's find out.
With Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata.
1, 2, 3.
On the Fan.
All right, here we got a little 3RQ for you. First one. So a couple of weeks ago, I was going down to Bradley Beach, and I was texting Al Dukes for some advice on, hey, is this going to be a pain in the neck, you know, to get in, how does this work, parking, whatever. And turns out Al loaned me his parking spot for the day. He offered up, saying, hey, you know what? If you need to go to the beach, you can take my parking spot. I was like, wow, this is great. Hook up. Thank you so much. So my question is, Zoo, do I like have to now give him something in return? Is there like, you know, like do I, you know, oh, thank you for letting me use your parking space.
There feels like there needs to be some type of reciprocation, right?
I don't know. That's why I'm asking.
I got to be honest. I don't know what it is. That's the problem. I've never had somebody loan me a beach spot before.
Yeah.
So that's kind of out there.
Yeah.
But
it is. It was nice to not have to have anxiety or stress about where I'm going to park or really a far walk. It was a great hookup. We pulled right in there. We unloaded, the car right from there. Well, a nice quick walk over to the beach. It was great. So I'm very appreciative of it. But I was thinking, like, what do I do now to thank him? You know, I said thank you. I appreciate it. Isn't that enough?
With Al, it's difficult because typically I would say, I would say something like if it was Jerry, right? I'd say, hey, invite him over to your house,
right?
Pool, do
Al doesn't want to come over.
Al has no interest.
Right. And he probably doesn't want anything. And then I was thinking about this. Years ago, Al was talking about Kent Tekulve, maybe just being either a memorable player or one of his favorite players when he was growing up. And then I got, out of the kindness of my heart, I got him a Kent Tekulve little statue, figurine statue.
Oh.
So then I was thinking, hey, you know what? Maybe now we're even.
Hey,
maybe this parking space was the reciprocation for that, which I didn't want any thank you. I just was like, thought it was a cool thing. The statue that I happened to be aware of and I heard Al talking about. I was like, oh, let me get this statue for him. And then I got it.
Well, that puts you in a bad place going forward, though, bro, because now you want that parking spot. You're going to need to need pony up, you know?
Well, I see what you're saying. If I wanted it again, I got to. Yeah, I mean, right. See, that could be the thing moving forward if I do go to Bradley Beach again. But the problem is Al just happened to not be using his spot that particular day. Next time I go, let's say he's home. You know what I mean? I'm not going to get the spot offered up. But as a matter of fact, next time I go, I'm not even going to bother Al because this time was my first time there. So I wanted to get some insight. But I do appreciate Al loaning me his parking space. I thought it was very nice. I would never think that he would do something like that.
Yeah.
Even if it was available, he'd be like, you know, stay away from my place and leave my parking space alone. But it was very nice.
And after all the details, bro, absolutely without a doubt. You're good.
Okay, good. All right, there we go. You have it. Dove, you don't think I need to get him anything, right?
No, you should do is have Zoo send the link to this 3RQ segment on the podcast.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure he'll love that as a thank you.
Well, he'll know that you're thinking about it.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've had it on my list for a couple of weeks. We didn't get to it yet, but thank you, Al, for that. All right, number two, Zoo, do you keep text threads open on your phone or delete them?
Oof. Now we're talking text threads, right?
Text threads. So, like, if I text you, if Dope texts you, whatever, you have all these separate threads on your phone.
For the most part, sometimes I'll get really irritated with somebody and I'll delete the thread because I'm just too...
Okay.
The conversation is just, you know, I don't need to see it anymore.
Yeah.
But most of the time, like, I still have probably, if I scroll through some of my conversations, I probably have texts from 2017.
See? So you keep them open. Oh, I'm a deleter. Immediately.
I'm all about it.
Really?
The DMs, we're deleting those.
No. I'm just talking about the...
You never know who's diving into those.
The open... Well, that is true.
Don't need anybody seeing that.
The open text threads, for me, are like something to do. I leave it in my phone. So right now I'm trying to... And actually right now it's building up. Because it's got like, oh, I got to take care of this thing. I got to take care of that thing. Or I got this person coming over. Whatever it may be. If I have an open thread, it's because the responsibility of that conversation has not been closed.
Ooh, okay.
Otherwise, it's out. Like, if you text me this morning about the show, I would have been like, okay, fine, and then delete it right away.
Wow.
Because it would have been a closed conversation.
It's interesting.
I don't like having them open. It bothers me. And I got, as a matter of fact, I got too many right now, which means I got to get some stuff done here.
Well, while you delete that, I will say this. The caveat to mine is that group messages, the group texts.
Yeah, oh, God, I can't.
I almost always will mute those. And 95% of the time, after we're done doing whatever we needed to do, out the door.
Yeah, I don't want to be in a group text ever.
Don't leave
me out of it.
Don't text me.
I'm only in a couple, and even those sometimes can be too much. All right, last one for you. This is important here. Could you date somebody with the same last name as you?
I mean, now listen, I couldn't because I have a very unique last
name. Well, or Zooman. I mean,
how many of us are?
But what have you met, met someone out?
I would just have to assume she was related to me.
Because it's a unique last name?
Yeah.
All right, but let's say there was no relation.
If I was Joe Smith,
no relation. Obviously, we're saying no relation here.
If I was Joe Smith,
yeah. Let's say you were, I don't know, like Pat Boyle.
Yeah, you know, just a common name. No reason to bring him on into this, right.
Fairly common name. If you were, if your name was Pat Boyle,
I mean,
would you
like,
date somebody? You know, Boyle's a common last name. Would you date somebody with the last name of Boyle?
If my name was Boyle, and if my name was Pat Boyle, you know what? I think I would.
Okay.
I think I would.
But I don't
only
know if
my
could
name
do
was
that.
Pat Boyle.
Yeah, I don't know if I could do that, because think about it. To Pat Boyle, in this hypothetical, of course, to Pat Boyle, his last name is his last name. Like, you're saying Arzuman is unique, and to me, like, Licata is. But if I met a girl out and she had the last name Licata and there was no relation, I don't know if I could date somebody with that same last name.
Yeah, no. No
Whether
chance.
It's common or not.
No chance. I mean, no chance.
Which is ironic because then you get married, and of course, you know, you have the same last name anyway. But
easy for the I guess transition over legally, but I mean, not fun. not a fun time figuring out the in betweens.
You don't have to legally change. It's just
all of a sudden you invite the same family to the wedding. You're like,
No. I'm saying you're not. There is no relation. There is no bloodline. Anything like that. No relation whatsoever. Although I guess. I mean, are we all related in some way?
Ooh, brother.
You know what I'm saying? Let's get deep here on a Wednesday. No, but seriously, there's no relation. Obviously, you don't want to go down that. I'm saying seriously, whatever. Same last name, no relation at all. I still find that there's a hurdle there that I don't know if I could overcome that.
Yeah, I think it's the same hurdle for me. I think it's just the thought. Just the thought of the same last name. And I mean, even knowing with the like full knowledge, no bloodline connection, knowing that, I would still feel like,
Dove, you ever run into this problem? Kramer's a pretty popular name.
I actually did. I'm married 27 years, so it's a while ago.
So before that.
Right. I was set up on a blind date with somebody whose last name was Kramer.
And?
I went out with her.
For a while or?
Once. But not because of the last name.
Okay.
Sweet girl. No, just wasn't for me.
Why did it end? Oh, you turned it down.
Could be she would have also. I don't know. But
it just never rekindled. Okay.
I do know somebody who married somebody with the same last name.
Okay. All right. So then it does happen.
Yeah. Worse. First cousins.
Whoa. Wait a second. Oh. What kind of show is this?
Oh, we went off the rails, bro.
That's what we're trying to avoid. I don't think that's legal.
We'll keep that on the DL. We'll keep that on the DL.
You never know where the three random questions are going to take you. All right, that does it for this edition of 3RQ. Let's get back to the phones. 888-808-1019. Chris is calling from Belleville. Chris, how are you?
Hey, what's going on, man?
How are you, Chris?
I wish BT... I'm good. I wish BT was there because... And I'm a Yankee fan. I called 2 weeks ago after the Yankees had a good week, and he was talking about this team can win the World Series, and I gave him some pushback. And, you know, listen, this team's going to be a playoff team. And it's not about what happened last night, but it is kind of about what happened last night. Because when they make it to the postseason and they're going to play these better teams like Cleveland, and let's not even get into the different Yankees closer. You know, if you're telling me Verdugo, LeMahieu, and Torres are going to be on the postseason roster, I don't think they're getting out of the first round.
Well, they're going to be on the roster, and at least one of them is going to be in the lineup, maybe two.
I think all three will. And
there's no way the Yankees can continue with LeMahieu. I know we've said that for months. They just can't do it. Like, it's enough. It's got to happen. They cannot ride with LeMahieu the rest of the way. They can't.
Yeah, and let's say the Orioles win the East and the Yankees have the highest wild card. I don't know. Do you know who they'll be playing in terms of, like, in the division? Do you know what team right now they would stand to play?
Let me look it up right now here, get the standings up for you. So if the Yankees won the wild card, they would be playing the second wild card, which would be the Twins, which means the Yankees. Well, right now it's a tie between the Twins and the Royals.
Okay.
So you better hope for the Twins.
Yeah,
either way, and maybe that factors into some of the odds. Either way, the Yankees should, assuming it's Minnesota, I mean, or Kansas City, and right now that would be a 3.5, and thank you for the call, Chris. The Yankees have a 3-game lead over Minnesota for the top wild card spot. And Kansas City, because they're both tied. And Boston is 3.5 games back. So the AL wild card is pretty clear. Boston's not done yet. Tampa Bay 6.5 out, and you know there were sellers at the deadline. Seattle 6.5 out, and man, they have fallen off here. Seattle has struggled, huh? 3-7 in the last 10. after making all those moves to the deadline, Seattle just can't help themselves. Somewhere, even with the pitching that they have. They trounce the Mets, and then they go away. It looks like it would be the Yankees versus either the Twins or the Royals. If, in fact, the Yankees win the wild card. Now, if they win the division, then you don't know because you got to see the wild card series play out. But, you know, point is, the Yankees are a flawed team. So is everybody else. Okay, great. That's, to me, not good enough going into the postseason. Why can't we go into the postseason with the Yankees being the best team, head and shoulders above everybody else? That's what it should be. It doesn't mean that that would equal a World Series win or a World Series berth, but you'd feel certainly better about your chances going in. Well, right now, it's everybody's on equal footing. They're all okay. The Orioles are okay. The Yankees are okay. The Guardians are okay. Twins, Royals, they're okay. Astros, they're okay. That's it. Phillies, Braves, Brewers, Dodgers, they're okay. See, I would put more stock in the record since June 1st because those are teams that have been playing better more recently for an extended period. Whereas the overall record is obviously going to factor in everything. And it favors the Yankees because of their hot start. If not for that, like we said before, since June 1st, they have the 18th best record in baseball. 18th. Whereas the Padres or Diamondbacks and Astros still have some of the best records in baseball. And a lot of that is more recent hot play. So I would favor those teams going to the postseason. Look, you never know. It's a crapshoot in the postseason. Problem is, the Yankees have issues. The bigger problem is, the Yankees fail to acknowledge those issues. They think we're the fools.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Start some trouble and call the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
A good question.
Three random questions.
Let's find out.
With Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata.
One, two, three.
On the Fan.
All right, here we got a little 3RQ for you. First one. So a couple of weeks ago, I was going down to Bradley Beach, and I was texting Al Dukes for some advice on, hey, is this going to be a pain in the neck, you know, to get in, how does this work, parking, whatever. And turns out, Al loaned me his parking spot for the day. He offered up, saying, hey, you know what, if you need to go to the beach, you can take my parking spot. I was like, wow, this is great, hook up, thank you so much. So my question is, Zoo, do I, like, have to now give him something in return? Is there thank you for letting me use your parking space?
There feels like there needs to be some type of reciprocation, right?
I don't know. That's why I'm asking.
I got to be honest. I don't know what it is. That's the problem. I've never had somebody loan me a beach spot before.
Yeah.
So that's kind of out there.
Yeah.
But
it is. It was nice to not have to have anxiety or stress about where I'm going to park or really a far walk. It was a great hookup. We pulled right in there. We unloaded the car right from there. Well, a nice quick walk over to the beach. It was great. So I'm very appreciative of it. But I was thinking, like, what do I do now to thank him? You know, I said thank you. I appreciate it. Isn't that enough?
With Al, it's difficult because typically I would say, I would say something like, if it was Jerry, right? I'd say, hey, invite him over to your house,
right?
Pool, do
Al doesn't want to come over.
Al has no interest.
Right. And he probably doesn't want anything. And then I was thinking about this. Years ago, Al was talking about Kent Tekulve, maybe just being either a memorable player or one of his favorite players when he was growing up. And then I got, out of the kindness of my heart, I got him a Kent Tekulve little statue, figurine statue.
Oh.
So then I was thinking, hey, you know what? Maybe now we're even.
Hey, you
maybe
know what?
Maybe this parking space was the reciprocation for that, which I didn't want any thank you. I just was like, thought it was a cool thing. The statue that I happened to be aware of, and I heard Al talking about, I was like, oh, let me get this statue for him. And then I got it.
Well, that That puts you in a bad place going forward, though, bro, because now you want that parking spot. You're going to need to need to pony up, you know?
Well, I see what you're saying. If I wanted it again, I got to. Yeah, I mean, right. See, that could be the thing moving forward if I do go to Bradley Beach again. But the problem is Al just happened to not be using his spot that particular day. Next time I go, let's say he's home. You know what I mean? I'm not going to get the spot offered up. But as a matter of fact, next time I go, I'm not even going to bother Al because this time was my first time there. So I wanted to get some insight. But I do appreciate Al loaning me his parking space. I thought it was very nice. I would never think that he would do something like that. Yeah. Even if it was available, he'd be like, you know, stay away from my place and leave my parking space alone. But it was very nice.
And after all the details, bro, absolutely, without a doubt, you're good.
Okay, good. All right, there we go. You have it. Dove, you don't think I need to get him anything, right?
No, what you should do is have Zoo send the link to this 3RQ segment on the podcast.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure he'll love that as a thank you.
Well, he'll know that you're thinking about it.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've had it on my list for a couple of weeks. We didn't get to it yet, but thank you, Al, for that. All right, number two, Zoo, do you keep text threads open on your phone or delete them?
Oof. Now we're talking text threads, right?
Text threads. So, like, if I text you, if Dope texts you, whatever, you have all these separate threads on your phone.
For the most part, sometimes I'll get really irritated with somebody and I'll delete the thread because I'm just too...
Okay.
The conversation is just, you know, I don't need to see it anymore.
Yeah.
But most of the time, like, I still have probably, if I scroll through some of my conversations, I probably have texts from 2017.
See? So you keep them open. Oh, I'm a deleter. Immediately.
I'm all about it.
Really?
The DMs, we're deleting those.
No. I'm just talking about the...
You never
the,
know who's diving into those.
The open... Well, that is true.
Don't need anybody seeing that.
The open text threads, for me, are like something to do. I leave it in my phone. So right now I'm trying to... And actually right now it's building up. Because it's got like, oh, I got to take care of this thing. I got to take care of that thing. Or I got this person coming over. Whatever it may be. If I have an open thread, it's because the... responsibility of that conversation has not been closed.
Ooh, okay.
Otherwise, it's out. Like, if you text me this morning about the show, I would have been like, okay, fine, and then delete it right away.
Wow.
Because it would have been a closed conversation.
It's interesting.
I don't like having them open. It bothers me. And I got, as a matter of fact, I got too many right now, which means I got to get some stuff done here.
Well, while you delete that, I will say this. The caveat to mine is that group messages, the group texts.
Yeah, oh, God, I can't.
I almost always will mute those. And 95% of the time, after we're done doing whatever we needed to do, out the door.
Yeah, I don't want to be in a group text ever. Leave me out of it.
Don't text me.
I'm only in a couple, and even those sometimes can be too much. All right, last one for you. This is important here. Could you date somebody with the same last name as you?
I mean, now listen, I couldn't because I have a very unique last
name. Well, or Zooman. I mean,
how many of us are?
But what have you met, met someone out?
I would just have to assume she was related to me.
Because it's a unique last name?
Yeah.
All right, but let's say there was no relation.
If I was Joe
proven
Smith,
no
right?
relation. Obviously, we're saying no relation here.
If I was Joe Smith.
Yeah. Or if let's say you were, I don't know, like Pat Boyle.
Yeah, you know, just a common name. No reason to bring him on into this,
right.
I'm saying a
fairly common name. If you were, if your name was Pat Boyle,
I mean,
would you
like,
date somebody? You know, Boyle's a common last name. Would you date somebody with the last name of Boyle?
If my name was Boyle, and if my name was Pat Boyle, you know what? I think I would.
Okay.
I think I would.
But I don't
only
know if
my
could
name
do
was
that.
Pat Boyle.
Yeah, I don't know if I could do that because think about it. To Pat Boyle, in this hypothetical, of course, to Pat Boyle, his last name is his last name. Like, you're saying Arzuman is unique, and to me, like, Licata is. But if I met a girl out, and she had the last name Licata, and there was no relation, I don't know if I could date somebody with that same last name.
Yeah, no. No
Whether
chance.
It's common or not.
No chance. I mean, no chance.
Which is ironic because then you get married and, of course, you know, you have the same last name anyway. But
easy for the I guess, transition over legally. But, I mean, not fun. not a fun time figuring out the in-betweens.
You don't have to legally change. It's just...
All of a sudden, you invite the same family to the wedding. You're like,
No. I'm saying you're not... There is no relation. There is no bloodline, anything like that. No relation whatsoever. Although, I guess... I mean, are we all related in some way?
Ooh, brother.
You know what I'm saying? Let's get deep here on a Wednesday. No, but seriously, there's no relation. Obviously, you don't want to go down that. I'm saying seriously, whatever. Same last name, no relation at all. I still find that there's a hurdle there that I don't know if I could overcome that.
Yeah, I think it's the same hurdle for me. I think it's just the thought of the same last name. And I mean, even knowing with the like full knowledge, yeah, no bloodline connection, right, nothing right, like okay, that, even cool, knowing that, I would still feel like,
yeah. Dove, you ever run into this problem? Kramer's a pretty popular name.
I actually
name.
Did. I'm married 27 years, so right, it's a while ago.
So before that.
Right. I was set up on a blind date, okay, with somebody whose last name was Kramer.
And?
I went out with her.
For a while, or?
Once. But not because of the last name.
Okay.
Sweet girl. No, just wasn't for me.
Why did it end? Oh, you turned it down.
Could be she would have also. I don't know. Oh, but
oh. It just never rekindled. Okay.
I do know somebody who married somebody with the same last name.
Okay. All right, so then it does
but
happen.
Yeah. Worse. Uh-oh. First cousins.
Oh, whoa. Wait a second. Oh. What kind of show is this?
Oh, we went off the rails, bro.
That's what we're trying to avoid. I don't think that's legal.
We'll keep that on the DL. We'll keep that on the DL.
You never know where the three random questions are going to take you. All right, that does it for this edition of 3RQ. Let's get back to the phones. 888-808-1019. Chris is calling from Belleville. Chris, how are you?
Hey, what's going on, man?
How are you, Chris?
I wish BT... I'm good. I wish BT was there because... And I'm a Yankee fan. I called 2 weeks ago after the Yankees had a good week, and he was talking about this team can win the World Series, and I gave him some pushback. And, you know, listen, this team's going to be a playoff team. And it's not about what happened last night, but it is kind of about what happened last night, because when they make it to the postseason and they're going to play these better teams like Cleveland, and let's not even get into the difference. Yankees closer, you know, if you're telling me Verdugo, LeMayu, and Torres are going to be on the postseason roster, I don't think they're getting out of the first round.
Well, they're going to be on the roster, and at least one of them is going to be in the lineup, maybe two.
I think all three will. And
well, there's no way the Yankees can continue with LeMayu. I know we've said that for months. They just can't do it. Like, it's enough. It's got to happen. They cannot ride with LeMayu the rest of the way. They can't.
Yeah, and let's say the Orioles win the East and the Yankees have the highest wild card. I don't know. Do you know who they'll be playing in terms of like in the division? Do you know what team right now they would stand to play?
Let me look it up right now here, get the standings up for you. So if the Yankees won the wild card, they would be playing the second wild card, which would be the Twins, which means the Yankees. Well, right now it's a tie between the Twins and the Royals.
Okay.
So you better hope for the Twins.
Yeah,
either way, and maybe that factors into some of the odds. Either way, the Yankees should, assuming it's Minnesota, I mean, or Kansas City, and right now that would be a 3.5. And thank you for the call, Chris. The Yankees have a 3-game lead over Minnesota for the top wild card spot. Well, and Kansas City because they're both tied, and Boston is 3.5 games back. So the AL wild card is pretty clear. Boston's not done yet. Tampa Bay 6.5 out, and you know there were sellers at the deadline. Seattle 6.5 out, and man, they have fallen off here. Seattle has struggled, huh? 3-7 in the last 10. After making all those moves to the deadline, Seattle just can't help themselves. Somewhere, even with the pitching that they have. They trounce the Mets, and then they go away. It looks like it would be the Yankees versus either the Twins or the Royals, if, in fact, the Yankees win the wild card. Now, if they win the division, then you don't know because you got to see the wild card series play out, but... You know, point is, the Yankees are a flawed team, so is everybody else. Okay, great. That's, to me, not good enough going into the postseason. Why can't we go into the postseason with the Yankees being the best team, head and shoulders above everybody else? That's what it should be. It doesn't mean that that would equal a World Series win or a World Series berth, but you'd feel certainly better about your chances going in. Well, right now, it's everybody's on equal footing. They're all okay. The Orioles are okay. The Yankees are okay. The Guardians are okay. Twins, Royals, they're okay. Astros, they're okay. That's it. Phillies, Braves, Brewers, Dodgers, they're okay. See, I would put more stock in the record since June 1st because those are teams that have been playing better more recently for an extended period. Whereas the overall record is obviously going to factor in everything. And it favors the Yankees because of their hot start. If not for that, like we said before, since June 1st, they have the 18th best record in baseball. 18th. Whereas the Padres or Diamondbacks and Astros still have some of the best records in baseball, and a lot of that is more recent hot play. So I would favor those teams going to the postseason. Look, you never know. It's a crapshoot in the postseason. Problem is, the Yankees have issues. The bigger problem is, the Yankees fail to acknowledge those issues. They think we're the fools.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.